Good morning, everyone. It's an incredible privilege to be here with you this morning. I've greatly looked forward to it. And if you can turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. The Heavenly Father, we come before you to hear from your word. Father, would you speak to us? Father, we need your explanation, your presence, your power, your word to transform our hearts, to renew our minds. Father, so that we may truly bring our cares before you, and that peace that surpasses all understanding may guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus, would you reveal yourself to us? Father, soften our hearts now as we come to hear your word. Father, come and bring your holy presence through your words that we might see that our hearts were burning within us. As you speak to us, that we realize that a man is but a tool, and a voice is but a tool, but the power and the Spirit is from you. So Father, we pray that you would guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, the Christian life is a life lived in the presence of God, in the experiential relationship with God living with us day in and day out. And there's no such thing as a cold-hearted Christian who knows nothing of the love and the goodness of God, because we have a God who loves to make His love and goodness known to His people. And in this letter, Paul has been stirring up the Philippians to live for Christ in a fellowship with each other, and to rejoice in God. And yet, as a wise physician of the soul, Paul the Apostle knows that cares and difficulties can arise in our lives, and it can begin to overshadow our hearts and minds and distract us from the goodness and the love and the power of God, and can take away that joy and peace, and it begins to decrease. Now the question for us is, when we read this, we might think, well, Paul, that's easy talking for you. You're this apostle sent out, and people praise you. But do you remember, beloved, where Paul was when he wrote this letter? He was chained up in prison. Now imagine that, a man who is chained up for the faith. He writes to these people who are living outside of the prison, in liberty. And he's saying, you do not be anxious for anything. His head could be cut off the very next day. And he says, bring your cares to the Lord. That's a man worth listening to. And so in this letter, and really in this text, is the mystery, the secret of Paul's relationship with Jesus Christ, and how he is to be able to bear all these hardships and all these difficulties as he walks on through this life. And so in our text we have three things. First, we have a commandment, which comes in two parts. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All right, that's a commandment, something we ought to do. There comes the promise, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will come to you. And finally, we see the great benefit of that promise. It shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So let's begin with the commandment. Now, a commandment which is followed by a promise is a particular kind of commandment. Now in the Bible, there's different kinds of promises. Not every promise is equal. Some promises come to the whole world, such as oxygen, sunlight, food, drink. Now we have more or less, but they come, and you don't need to be a Christian to receive oxygen. God's goodness lets the sun rise over both the wicked and the righteous. Right? These promises are given to the whole world. Secondly, there's promises that depend on faith and are unique to Christians, but they go to every Christian. The righteousness of Christ. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ receives the righteousness of Christ. Isn't that true? Secondly, the internal inheritance of God. Whoever believes in Christ will live forever in the presence of God. And the witness of the Spirit by which we know that we are children of God comes to every believer. But our promise this morning is not one of the first two, it's the third. These are promises in God's Word that are for believers, but they require a specific kind of obedience. If you do this, then this will come to you. The peace of God, in verse 7, is dependent upon our obedience to verse 6. If you do not heed the words of verse 6, you will miss out on the promise that is given in verse 7. Do you see that in our text? Now, what is the commandment? What is the thing that we need to get ready for and tighten our muscles and be strong about? Here it is. Do not be anxious about anything. That's the commandment. Have you ever heard a kinder, a sweeter, a more beautiful commandment than this? Do not be anxious about anything. That, beloved, is the Word of God. That's the Word of God that comes to us. Well, a farmer may say, well, the weather has been bad for farming, about to lose my crops. What am I going to do? Your Heavenly Father says, do not be anxious. A wife will say, my husband is an incredibly difficult man. How am I going to survive? Your Heavenly Father says, do not be anxious about anything. A father may say, my children are growing up in a dark world with temptations on every side. Your Heavenly Father says, do not be anxious about anything. You may say, how long will it be until we will be persecuted in severe ways for our faith? The way that our world is going, how long until they'll take away my spouse or my children? God's Word says, do not be anxious about anything. Oh, beloved, do you see the glory of the commandment that comes to us? It is all-inclusive, isn't it? Be careful for what? For nothing. That's a peculiar word, isn't it? That excludes every other word. For nothing. Nothing. It doesn't allow anything to be worried about. Everything in your life, every worry, every care, we're called to bring to God. So it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, supplication is a begging and asking and bringing it to God, pleading at the throne of God, holding on to His feet and say, Lord, I have these cares and I need You to come and help me and strengthen me. Now read these words carefully, my friends. In everything, in every situation, in all hardships, in all cares, in all dangers, in all worries, we must bring our requests to God in prayer and supplication. That's the life God calls us to. This is a marvelous commandment. God desires you and me, worms, pieces of dust, to come to Him with our often selfish requests and He will care for them. What king, what president has ever given such a commandment? What king will ever stand up and say, "All right, you're my subjects. Just bring all your cares to me and I'll take care of it"? I know of none except our Lord Jesus Christ. In prayer and supplication, God desires us to come to Him and speak to Him. Isn't this so much like the Father in the parable of the prodigal son when he comes back? His son had gone wayward, right? He had run away. He comes back. His father is waiting with an angry face. "Why did you come back? Did he do that?" No. He had his arms open wide. He came and he ran to him. Do you think that the father in the parable is a more caring father than yours, your heavenly father? No, it's the parable about the heavenly father, isn't it? It's God himself with his arms open where we come to him in prayer and supplication. Now let's not forget, with thanksgiving. Now this must be the seal of approval from God, the secret key to the joy of all God's children. For our prayer and supplication, listen to this. Do not go out to an unwilling ruler or some distant king. No, they go out to God who loves us and cares for us. This is no forced thankfulness. This is not some kind of smile that you put up on a family picture. Right? This is a true joy of knowing God as your Father, as the one who has sent His Son to die for your sins, beloved. There is a Father who is near to the brokenhearted and to those who tremble at His Word. We have a Lord who is lowly of heart and meek. Not some king who's ready to send you out and go home and fix it yourself. This is a king who cares. A father who loves. So, beloved, bring your cares to him with thanksgiving, being fully persuaded that he will receive them from your hands. Oh, beloved, have you seen and tasted that the Lord is good? Have you seen it? Have you tasted it? When you wake up in the morning and your mind is dull, you go down and you get out of your bed. Maybe you go on your knees or you go to the dinner table. Your mind is restless and cold. The worries of the day begin already. Can start to conquer your mind. Do you know that the Lord has watched over you all night and that His heart is ravished when we come to Him in prayer? That's a God. You see, the love of Christ and the love of God surpasses understanding, as does His peace, doesn't it? Just imagine, you sit there on your knees and you think, you just pray and you hope that God hears it. But the reality is that He sees you, He hears you, He has watched over you during the night, safely guarding your heartbeat again and again and again until you wake up, and He desires to hear you come to Him in prayer with all your cares. Can this be true? This must be God. That's His Word. His love never grows cold, but it always shines brightly as the star and the moon, but especially as the sun that comes up in full strength in the summer on a cloudless day. And there's still one more thing that we must not overlook. It is God who calls us to be careful for nothing. This is not just some man who writes something that he thinks is a good idea. This is God Himself, through His Holy Spirit, inspiring Paul, the apostle, to write this so that one day this might be preached to people. You might read this. You might read this and see the love of God displayed in His Word. But this is not just Paul. It's all over the Bible. Let me read two verses for you. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, "Casting all, again, all, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Beloved, this is a one-way street, isn't it? This is a singular transaction. Think about this. How often do we bring our cares to God just to take it right back when we say Amen? That's not the way that God tells us. He says, cast it. I think that it's this particular. That word casting is not given, because if you give it, you can still pull it back. But if you cast it, you have to let it go. And you have to give it to God, and God is the one who now takes your cares and your responsibilities with you. How foolish is the man who brings his sick person to a doctor just long enough for the doctor to see that he's sick and then quickly takes him home again? You're not going to do that. Is that a loving father? You see, my son has broken his arm. The doctor, yeah, let me look at it. No, no, no. I just wanted you to see it. I just wanted you to know that my son has a broken arm so that you're aware of it. No. What you bring it to the doctor and you expect the doctor to help you with your son's arm. How often do we bring our cares to God just to tell Him, Lord, I'm carrying a burden, so now you know. Let me bring it back with me now. That's not the way. It's bringing your cares to Him. Yes, you may still be in the situation, but the care belongs to God. You see that? Now we come to the promise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will be with you. Now if the commandment was so full of God's kindness and love, how much more shall the promise that comes with it overflow with God's generous love? We have it here in our text. What is the promise? The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That's supernatural peace. Now, what is this peace? Well, first of all, what is it not? Right? Sometimes it's helpful to know what it's not so that we can understand what it is. What's it not? Well, first, it's not an absence of war or trouble. Yeah. Right? And I mean, an absence of war is not a divine peace. We can understand that. Right? We see when something is peaceful, we understand it. That doesn't surpass our understanding. And an absence of war doesn't guard our heart or mind. Does it? Just the absence of something is not a particular good guard. It's just the absence. Secondly, the peace of God does not refer to reconciliation. Now, we have peace with God through the gospel. Right? We are no longer enemies of God. But that's not the peace that He's speaking about here. Because else it would be a work of salvation. Right? Paul has already written. He's written to the Philippians and he writes to them as believers, those who know God. So if he's writing to those who already know God, it means that they already have peace with God. So he's not talking about the peace that comes when the sin is taken away between God and us. That's not the peace he's talking about. And the question is, what does this peace refer to? I think we need to look at the whole Bible to understand this peace. From the Old Testament, what does peace mean? Peace never comes alone in the Old Testament, does it? God doesn't say, well, you have these nations attacking you. Let me just take these nations away. No, listen to this. Dry deserts are transformed into fruitful lands. Broken cities are restored to peace and to strong cities. Shame is turned into honor. Sorrow into joy. Despair into comfort and trust. All of this is peace for Israel in the Old Testament. Right? It's a much bigger word than our own word for peace is. No. The blessings in the New Testament reach far deeper than that, doesn't it? The Old Testament, we are promised all these, the Israelites are promised all these material goods, right? Riches and land, sitting under your own tree. Right? There's all these material blessings. But the New Covenant and the New Testament promises the Holy Spirit Himself, that pouring out, that relationship with God. Rivers of living water flowing through our dry hearts. This is far greater. The peace of God that we receive through Christ is not merely food and drink, which come today and are gone tomorrow. No, Christ has brought something far greater. He brings us spiritual welfare that surpasses all understanding. Think about this. You could have all the riches of the world, but have a dead, cold heart like Nabal, Abigail's first wife. You could have all the honor and power of Israel, as Saul had, but live in deep depression and need somebody to play music just to get your heart settled. You could have everything in the world, but if there's no peace, it's useless. How many more people in Hollywood do we need to see commit suicide? Having all the fame, all the riches, can't handle life. There is no peace that surpasses understanding. But when the blessings of God's peace come upon you, you will be filled with joy and delight and rest and peace and boldness and strength. Do you remember when you were saved? Were you richer that day? In a physical sense, probably not. But in a spiritual sense, oh, a whole new life began, isn't it? You were going from death to life. I once was bound, but now I am free. The peace of God. Psalm 4, verse 6 and 7. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Who will show us some good? And then he responds, lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. That's God's presence. God feeds our soul with eternal food. He restores the brokenhearted. He fortifies fragile minds. He strengthens our weakness. He makes us bold as lions in the midst of our adversities. He gives us joy that the world does know nothing about. That surpasses all understanding. Have you ever wondered about the martyrs? What happened? They confessed the name of Christ. And they say, if you say you believe in Jesus Christ, we will burn you at the stake. We will throw you in front of the lions. What did they do? They stand up and says, Christ is Lord. They tie him to the stake. They set them on fire. And they praise God. How do you explain that? How can you be burned and praise the God who you're burning for? One reason only. They had a peace that passes all understanding, that was greater than their worries. Why? Because they cast their worries upon the Lord. They brought their anxieties upon God. Do you think there's any man or woman on earth living that desires to be burned? No. But bringing that care to God, the peace of God past their understanding, that's supernatural. That's God living near a man and a woman for Christ. A little time ago, we had just moved to Grand Rapids, and I started to get really worried. Finances, family situation, moving to a different place, difficult hardships on the way. I started to get really anxious for a couple of days. I was just worried. I'm sure I'm the only person that ever worries in this room. But I was worried, right? And I didn't know what to do. And I was thinking, here I am. I'm a Christian. Why am I being worried? But I was. Because when I came home, I looked at my wife and my children. I think they're here in this strange city with no friends around. What are they going to do? And I read this passage. I thought, God, really? You want me to just cast this upon you? But if I'm anything, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm really nothing else. So really, I must obey God's word. So I lay my cares upon the Lord, and will you know, a peace that flooded my soul. Were all my problems solved in one instance? No. But I knew from that moment on, God is the one who carries my burdens. He is the one who cares for me. And so I received the strength to overcome my difficulties. Because the peace of God surpasses all understanding. Now, we come to our last part, the great benefit of the promise. It will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No, beloved, we must slow down and see the weightiness, the importance of what this is before us. I know that when we speak about these things, it can be a very soothing and soft and gentle message. Right? Because we hear the love and the peace of God. But I don't want you to forget that at the same time, we live in war. We're in a spiritual warfare. And you can sit there as a man. I think I don't need this. Because I was raised as a man. And I'm strong. And I can carry my own burdens. I don't think I'm the only man that ever feels like that. I can handle this. If I'm giving this to somebody else, I'm losing my manhood. It's never a good idea to disagree with God's word, is it? Here's why. Why is it necessary to bring your cares to God? Why do you need to bring your requests to God? Why does a man who is strong and smart and able, why does he need to go down on his knees and bring his cares to God? Here's why. Because it guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You need a guard for your mind. Think about this. If you don't have a guard for your mind, what's going to happen? Your mind is going to be filled with whatever enemies try to put in your mind. Right? Because the guard is gone. It's like an open castle. Come in, everybody who wants to take over. That's exactly what it speaks about. Now, women, isn't it true that cares are often a responsibility? If I look at my mother and my wife, I see that sometimes to be a woman, she needs to care. Right? But to be anxious is never your responsibility. To be anxious is what you bring to God. Listen to this. Think about the sower. The parable of the sower. We heard about parables this morning. Think about this. Do you remember the seed that fell among the thorns? What happened? It choked them. Why did it choke them? What do these represent? What do these thorns represent? Do you remember? The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Right, it's the cares that choke the life out of these plants and become unfruitful. You see, if you let cares run over your life, you will become unfruitful for God. If you fill your heart and mind with cares, you will not be able to care for others. Because everything will be inward and for me. And you will not see your struggling brother or sister because you're too occupied with your own cares. You will not be able to love because your heart will shrink because of the cares. Because your lifeline is being strangled. our hearts and minds represent our thoughts and our desires and our feelings, do they not? And isn't it so true that our mind shuts down when we are worried? Is that true? Aren't cares a disguised form of a lack of faith in the love of God? God, I'm not going to be able to handle this. What? Have you ever seen the planet Earth on pictures from the moon? It's a pretty small little globe. Now imagine you being there. You can't see you, but you're there somewhere in the picture. Now God holds the universe in His hands. Billions of stars. He holds like this, and He knows every one of them. You think you need to be anxious if your Heavenly Father cares for you? I don't think so. You got to bring Him to God. Our enemy delights in our worries. He delights when you're anxious. Oh, Satan has a field day when you get scared. You know why? Because the guard is gone and he can fill your mind with all kinds of lies about him, about God, about the world, about your spouse, and about your children. If you get anxiety to rule over your minds, man, this is what Satan is going to do. He's going to plant thoughts in your heart that your wife, you deserve better. That your children, you deserve better children. He's going to take it away. He does. And why? Because you were a strong man that can handle his cares? No, because you didn't bring them to God. You see the responsibility. If you let cares rule your life, it can destroy your entire life. There's nothing manly about keeping your anxieties in your own heart. A man who worries, our text says, has no protection from the temptations of Satan. If he does not bring them to God, he will be drowned, and she will be drowned in her own cares. If we keep our cares within us, we will slowly but surely grow cold in our love for God. But often cares present themselves as our caring friends, aren't they? They seek to be our companion in hardship. We can just discuss with our anxieties. It feels like we're alive. Yes, I need to be worried about this. And we discuss this over and over. And these cares begin to grow and overtake our minds. And we feel wrong if we don't care, if we're not anxious about these things. They creep into our heart and are darkened. Our trust in Christ, don't they not? When do you doubt that God exists? When do you doubt that God loves you? Is it not when you let anxiety rule in your heart? You see the importance of the topic before us and the responsibility that you have to its commandment. Now, men, we live in a John Wayne culture, isn't it? Man goes around, solves his own problems, and everybody cheers. That's not biblical manhood. We're called to be a man that walks with God. Yes, you are the man who is in charge over your family. You have leadership in your family, but guess what? You're under your Heavenly Father. And as your children bring their cares to you, you love them and you help them. And if you get cares, what do? You bring them to your Heavenly Father. Women, I think by nature, you're especially apt to be anxious. Isn't that true? Maybe not everyone, but I think in general we could say that. I mean, the children, the house, the visitors, family members, all of it. Your husband's job, you worry for him. For he may need to think a little bit more about it. Right? Your love draws you to care for all these things, to think about all these things, to see where you can help out in all these things. And those things are good. God has given you and shaped you in that way. But do not forget to bring your cares to God. If you see them, that's good. So you can bring them. You're kind of like the mail delivery. Right? You have the cares. You see how you can help in the situation. Men, you see how you can help in the situation. But the cares, the burden, the load is for God. He's the one who watches over you. So bring your cares to the Lord. Do not be deceived. Cares are not your friends. They're not natural. They're not normal for a Christian to keep and to treasure in your heart. They're like sheep, but they have sharp teeth. Because they're wolves in sheep clothing. They'll tear your soul apart before you know it. Beloved, will it be your cares, your lack of faith that control your heart and mind, or will you bring them to God? That's the question. You see why I begin with the promises? Because the promise of the guard only comes with the obedience of bringing them to God. Now how should we apply this to our lives? How should we have this peace of God that surpasses all understanding? Well, first of all, if you're a believer, I only have to repeat the text of the Word, the texts of today, and they read it to you. Do not be anxious about anything, beloved. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But maybe, perhaps, this morning, you know nothing of this peace that surpasses all understanding. Maybe you have no idea. When I began to speak about that martyr that is burned for the stake, you thought, well, I'd never do that. I'd run before they put ever fire on me. I would never be able to do that. Maybe you do not know the joy of Christ. The peace of knowing that your sins have been forgiven and you are no longer a sinner under the judgment of God, but you are a child of God. Maybe you have never experienced that, never known that peace. Oh, you may have grown up in the church. You may have seen all these people rejoicing and praising God. And you just thought to yourself, well, this is just a facade. It's just an outside covering. They're just the same behind it. Beloved, let me tell you, once you know Christ, you cannot hold it in. By nature, I am not the man that God made me. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that changes men. Now think about this. Your sins are still between you and God, and you know it. You have the greatest problem of all. The greatest anxiety of all. Because you don't only have anxiety, but you know that you don't have that relationship with God, so where does your anxiety go? You have to carry it on your back, day in, day out. But to you, dear friend, even to you, no, especially to you, I say, cast your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you. You have sin. Christ died for sin. You are defiled by sin. The blood of Christ washes you from all sin. The cleansing water from God can wash your heart clean, clothe you with the righteousness of Christ. Every sin is taken away through faith in Christ. Every last sin, the ones you know and the ones you might know one day. That's the gospel. Christ dying for guilty men. Oh, I say, come quickly. Do not wait till tomorrow. Who knows how long your life will be on earth? You do not know. God knows how often your heart beats, but you don't. How quickly can life be taken away? I plead with you, if you don't know Christ, come to Him. Throw yourself upon Him, because in Christ, my friend, in Christ is forgiveness. This is not some theory. This is the person of Jesus Christ. His ears are everywhere. His eyes are everywhere. He sees you. Come to Him. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, how great is your love displayed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how gentle you come to us with this commandment of bringing our anxieties to you. Father, I pray that you would be near us. Father, those who are struggling with their anxieties and their cares that are about to overrun, or perhaps have already let their mind be filled with anxieties, strengthen them. Father, even through this word, let it be as a prophetic word, cleansing the heart and renewing the mind. For Father, you are the only one who can carry our burdens, and they are not heavy for you. So Father, we pray, let this word that is spoken work in us, Lord. Let its fullness be manifest through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.